This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Seems like we've been hearing about it for so long, but yes, it is upon us. And what will the Olympics hold for all of the athletes in Beijing, but in particular for the Winter Olympians of the U.S. team, right? And looking at the qualifying, which got many of the athletes, of course, to Beijing, and watching to see what we will possibly weather throughout the time. It's interesting, you know, you look at the 15 actually winter sports, and it includes bobsled, luge, skeleton, ice hockey, figure skating, speed skating, short track, speed skating, curling, alpine skiing, freestyle skiing, snowboarding, biathlon, cross country skiing, ski jumping, Nordic combined. I knew I could get it all out. Welcome to the show, everybody. Kate Delaney. So the red carpet is not being rolled out for all the athletes in Beijing because they're watching to see what happens as far as COVID is returned. So in that sense, it will be a tad different than in previous years because there is always that chance that somebody that we're counting on to pull the U.S. through doesn't make it to the event because of testing positive. But I'm going to think optimistically and let everything roll out. Like, I'm going to think that Michaela Schifrin is going to make history in China. She is a once-in-a-lifetime generation skier. I really think she is. She's a gold medal threat in any event on skis that she enters. Shaun White, a four-time Olympian, three-time gold medalist. He's going to try to become the first athlete in any sport at the Olympic Winter Games to win four gold medals in the same event. Men's halfpipe. We're talking snowboarding. And how about Chloe Kim, the 2018 Olympic champ in women's halfpipe? She returns to chase that second gold medal. Let's see if she can do it or not. And, of course, there are so many other stars to watch each and every day, including what happens. Always figure skating is big. What happens in figure skating? The Olympic team bronze medalist Nathan Chen is going to make his Beijing debut for figure skating. He has a shot. He's super competitive. I would love to see him snatch it away from anybody else that could possibly get on the podium. He's fun to watch. But he did have a disastrous short program that erased medal chances in 2018. But he is a three-time reigning world champion. I would put my money on him. I think he absolutely could be one of those athletes that steps up for the U.S. And in speed skating, you know, you have Erin Jackson competing in the women's 500 meters. She became the first black woman to make the U.S. Olympic long track speed skating team after just 4 months of serious on-ice training. Super, super competitive. Fun to watch and see what happens there. And, of course, what happens in women's figure skating, the short programs, what happens there. Some of the U.S. skaters are super talented, and they'll have to challenge the young Russian who seems to have a lock on the gold, according to those who predict. But a lot of things will be unfolding on the first couple of days in the Olympics. The first day, you know, you look at Wednesday, February 2nd, which would technically be day two. The Beijing Winter Olympics kicks off with the early rounds of mixed doubles curling. And you've got the U.S. taking on Australia and Italy. So how fun is that going to be? And we'll have all that for you, and we'll watch the medals and see what happens when everything officially kicks off. So, I mean, the actual official dates for the Winter Olympics, February 4th through Sunday, February 20th in Beijing. But the competition starts on Wednesday, 2 days before the opening ceremony with curling, like I said. So how about that? All right, we are not curling away from the controversy over what's going on in the Ukraine with Russia, the buildup and the severity of this and what is being invested by the United States is absolutely now for sure all in on this. What will Putin do? What will the reaction be? He has made it very clear that he does not want NATO and the EU to pony up even more when it comes to the Baltic states, right? And this has been something that's been brewing for a long, 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 long time. But we definitely have a presence because we've got a couple of jets that are now part of this. Two U.S. F-15 fighter jets are now in the air, maybe not this second, but you know what I'm saying. They're there and in the air above a former Soviet air base, where in Estonia, they're part of that effort to reinforce NATO's eastern flank in response to that military buildup around the Ukraine that Russia has continued to do. But they're just a contingent of six F-15 Strike Eagle warplanes that arrived in Estonia last week from their base in Britain to initially just participate in a scheduled NATO exercise. Now they're going to remain indefinitely. So we are also part of that. We are all in on this. And Putin's demands are to effectively dismantle NATO in its current form. That's their condition for Russia de-escalating. And it's had much the opposite effect. The ultimatum is not landing. It's ringing on deaf ears. Russia is clear. Putin is clear. He wants commitments that NATO would withdraw troops from countries that joined the alliance after 1997. So that would be all of Eastern Europe. For NATO to agree to admit no further members, too, which would include the Ukraine. So this is a big showdown that we really don't know where this ends up. It is more than a headache. It is a full-blown migraine, if you want to put it in those terms. This is more than a little flare-up. This is not going away anytime soon. And we've been talking about this for a long time. If Putin does not get what he wants, would he really ultimately make the move to start the war? Would he make the move to do that? Because Russia is moving troops as the U.S. is sending weapons and sending a couple of planes, too. But certainly the U.S. stepped up as far as arms shipments to the Ukraine. So we are, folks, all in as to whatever happens here. We are absolutely invested. Not invested the way we were in Afghanistan or Iraq, but we are invested in what might happen in the Ukraine. What if Russia full-on attacks? Then what? That is the looming showdown. Conversation with Dennis Ross, an author, next.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to mysolarbackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's mysolarbackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at mysolarbackup.com.
No matter if supply lines are down, product deliveries are slow, and that most everything costs more these days. You still have neck and shoulder pain, right? Good news. Sunny Bay has new products that target neck and shoulder pain. Products that are in stock now, ready to ship anywhere now. Like our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. You can heat them in a microwave oven, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. And for stress relief, get our lavender scented hands-free neck wraps. Or maybe you need one of our smaller lower back wraps. Great for seniors. Again, there's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find our new products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. All our products are great for men or women, are reusable, and easy to clean. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay neck wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pouty Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Is with us. He's written two books. Actually, we're going to talk about The Lethal Elixir. It's a sequel to his first novel, The Perfect Match. And it's interesting because his background is he was a doctor, you know, a kidney specialist for 43 years. So he's a doctor turned novelist. I love that. Dennis, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
So let's talk about, first of all, jumping into writing. What was that like for you to have some actual time, because doctors are busy, to really have these things rattling around in your head to actually get a chance to do them?
Well, you know, it's kind of out of my comfort zone, to be very honest. You know, doctors tend to be more science and math oriented, not so much English and grammar or writing. So I would say it wasn't necessarily that comfortable thing for me to do. But it was just something, it was on my bucket list to particularly write the first book. The first book, The Perfect Match, was about kidney failure, dialysis, transplant, and I'm a nephrologist, so I've dealt with a lot of patients with that. And I wanted to educate the public about what people go through if they face the need for dialysis or a transplant. And I thought writing it like, in a fictional story with lots of twists and turns, would encourage him to read the whole book, much like actually John Grisham does his books, where he writes about a legal topic. So that kind of led to me, when I found some success with that, and my patients and others seemed to like it, encouraged me to write the second novel, The Lethal Elixir.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. What's The Lethal Elixir about?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? So I wrote this in 2019, 2020, and here's, again, reflecting back on my career in medicine. Over my 40-plus years in medicine, and I dealt with a lot of critically ill patients, many of them had infections. And it became apparent to me over my career that infections were more and more difficult to treat. The bacteria became more resistant to antibiotics. Viruses became more difficult to treat. And then I began to reflect on that and say, well, what if instead of a future conflict, we're not dealing with bombs and bullets, but we're dealing with bioweapons, with bacteria or viruses that can potentially, you know, control the world if you had the, if you had your own treatment for it. So that kind of led me to think about that. And, so this is a story about an outbreak of Ebola in the United States. And, the Ebola just occurs out of the blue, and a young person who happened to be working in the laboratory in virology. So the immediate thing was a tremendous panic at the hospital saying, oh my gosh, where did he catch this thing? And it turns out he was a loner. He never traveled anywhere. There was no evidence that he had been to Africa or any third world nation where he might have contracted this. So then the search is on to find a source. And this leads to rather panic across the United States as more and more patients develop the infection.
Oh boy, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? I'm thinking of Ebola too. You know, remember the whole Ebola thing that happened?
Right.
Yeah.
So it kind of has a bit of a sense of what we've gone through with this pandemic.
Yeah.
And I think it kind of tells us how serious infections can really change our whole culture and environment. You know, it turned out this pandemic has been upon us now for going on 3 years, and you can see what effect this can have.
Yeah, no kidding. And so the main character, and you mentioned him, he's this employee who gets ill. Like, where does this happen? And his name is Alex Williams. And what's interesting is, of course, the hospital has to be worried about their reputation. And then it becomes, wow, is this going to spread? And then there's more evidence that surfaces. So was it fun for you to take us on this journey in a couple of different areas?
You know, it has become more fun. I would say the first one was difficult just because it was something I'd never done before. And it was, I would say I didn't do it the correct way. You know, the best way to write is to write a little bit every day. And I didn't do that. I wrote like 10, 20 pages and would set it down for 2 or 3 months. That's okay in the beginning of the writing process. But as you get into the book, you begin to forget what you wrote in the beginning. And so it becomes more difficult. The flow of the book becomes more problematic. So in the second novel, I really spent time trying to write just even a few paragraphs every day. When I got home from work, I would sit down at night after dinner and just write a little bit. And it kept me engaged in the whole story much better. I'd gone to a writing class in Cape Cod taught by best-selling authors who were physicians. And that was kind of what they said. They said that you got to write a little bit all the time, not do it sporadically.
Oh, that totally makes sense because it's, you know, it's in your mind. It comes back up. You get excited. You put all that down. That makes sense to me. What do you hope people take away from reading The Lethal Elixir?
Well, I think they should take, they're probably already doing this because of the pandemic, take seriously the issue of infections today and the fact that infections can be more and more difficult to treat. And secondly, don't overuse antibiotics. Don't overuse treatments because those treatments can then lead to mutations and changes in the bacteria or virus that therefore can lead to more problems for everyone. So in this story, the Ebola has been modified to make it more invasive, more violent, more dangerous. And there's a conspiracy involved with this. So this conspiracy is meant to create a collapse in the United States. And fortunately, it stopped before it became too serious in the book. But there's a lot of romance and love story in this novel as well. So the FBI agent falls in love with the infectious disease doctor, and they're the main characters trying to track down the perpetrators.
Ooh, we'll leave it there. Get the book. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. We want to know what happens. Dennis Ross, you're a delight. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right, we move to this question from Dennis Ross.
and his novel to something that is happening right now to us. We talk about this whole supply chain troubles, and I see when you get out of your, I call it your bubble, right? You have what you need, but then you start to say, well, I need this from the hardware store, or I got to go get X, Y, Z. And you realize, oh, I can't get it as easy as I thought I could get it. I had that happen with, like, shoes because I have an average size and they're all gone. We're seeing this play out in all different ways. And I was talking to someone today about how long is it going to take for the supply chain problems, for that flow to really start to flow in the right direction again? And the fact is, it's going to require lots of technology. It's going to require incentives. When you talk about global business, it's going to take more ships, more warehouses, more truck drivers, and that's not going to be cheap. It's not going to be quick. I mean, this is terrible to think when I look in the crystal ball, but I'm going to look in the crystal ball because it's hard. It is hard to nail a time. When I had my conversation today, the person I was talking to who used to be in freight was saying, well, you know, maybe by the end of the summer, that would be excellent. Some of what I have seen, some of the predictions I have seen, that it's unlikely to happen at all in 2022. That if you talk to people that are in freight forwarding, they have companies that's what they do. They're being honest that, you know, cheap and reliable shipping is not going to be a given anymore. So that means manufacturers have to move production closer to the customers. That's what it means, right? Because then what happens? Delays, it impacts everything, including profits. And even the International Monetary Fund just the other week said supply chain woes were the biggest factors for the reason for the downgrading its forecast for global growth for 2022 to 4.4% from 4.9%, which if you looked at those two numbers, oh, it's a couple of percentage points. No, it's big to say that because you got problems at factories. Some of you know you're working in the factory. Factories, ports. I've worked at a factory before. I worked at a ski. We did skis and winter gear, and I loved it. It was just a great summer job, actually. And I saw what happened when things weren't working right and things didn't arrive at the right time. So we got problems at the factories, the ports, shipping yards. Yeah. It'd be great if at the beginning of 2023 we had less supply chain problems. Yeah. All right, coming up, we got a man cave. Lots to talk about in the man cave, including Tom Brady retiring.
Hey, Jimmy, turn off the video games. Let's go play some ball.
I'm in the middle of my game. Can't we go later?
Come on, it'll be fun. It will be there when you get back.
Okay, but there's no way you're going to win.
Why don't you grab some water and granola bars, and then we'll see about that.
You can make a difference. Eat smart, play hard. And when you do, your kids will too. A challenge from USDA.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News. former President Donald Trump is not backing down after suggesting at a weekend rally that he would pardon overcharged and mistreated January 6th arrestees.
Every Democrat city was on fire, and nobody says anything about it. Antifa and BLM were causing such problems, including death. With the exception of one young, fine woman, nobody died on January 6th. Nobody died on January 6th. They like to say five people, but nobody died on January 6th.
Pfizer has asked the U.S. to authorize extra low doses of its COVID-19 vaccine for children under the age of five, potentially opening the way for them to start receiving shots as early as March. The FDA urged Pfizer and its partner BioNTech to apply earlier than the companies had planned and before it settled that the youngsters will need two shots or three. This is USA Radio News. Two campus security officers are dead after being shot and killed at Bridgewater College in Virginia on Tuesday afternoon. Officers say a man who is now in custody killed campus police officer John Painter and campus safety officer J.J. Jefferson. College president David Bushman.
What happened here today is senseless and tragic. It's heartbreaking. Our anguish is felt so deeply because the entire Bridgewater College community is a family too. And that will be our greatest strength in the days and weeks ahead.
Virginia Governor Glenn Youngkin has been briefed on the shooting. A major winter storm is expected to affect a huge portion of the U.S. Heavy snow is forecast to start in the Rockies while freezing rain will pelt Texas. The storm will then move on to dump snow and ice on the Midwest. More than a foot of snow is forecast in places. Airlines grounded more than 1,000 flights scheduled for Wednesday. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
I'm going to the man cave.
Going to the man cave. Going to the man cave. I'm going to the man cave.
Lots of big news when it comes to the NFL, a big lawsuit, and also Tom Brady just makes it official. He teased us, or somebody else teased us, with the rumors that he was going to retire, and now it becomes official. He said he was still going through the process on Monday, here it is Tuesday, about whether he would retire or not. He announced his retirement in posts on social media. He started by saying that football requires an all-in commitment. And, you know, that's like what I say in my speeches. You have to go all in. You have to remember patience pays. And you have to stack the deck. And he knows that better than anyone. So that all-in commitment, he's saying, has to be there in order to succeed. And he's had that commitment for 22 years. And he said, he went on to say that the commitment isn't there anymore, that it's difficult to write, but here it goes. I'm not going to make that competitive commitment anymore. I've loved my NFL career. It's time to focus on my time and energy on other things that require my attention. So he thanked teammates, coaches, fans, family in a very, very lengthy message. And I bet it is tough to walk away from that. You know, we were speculating, and I really thought he was going to give it one more year based on what the brief interactions I've had, brief in the beginning of his career. So now it's like, what's next for him? Well, of course, there's all kinds of business opportunities and, hello, family, right? That would certainly be high on his list, and he's in his 40s. So what a career. First-time Hall of Famer on the first ballot, you know that. And he gave us some thrilling moments and infuriating moments when you were on the other side of the ball, right? All right, this is a huge story. Former Dolphins head coach Brian Flores is suing the NFL and teams, he says, that are engaging in racist practice against black coaches. He named the league, the Dolphins, the Giants, the Broncos, as well as John Doe teams 1 through 29 as defendants in the lawsuit, which is structured as a class action complaint. So I guess there's some other coaches that might join in as plaintiffs in this suit. The suit makes allegations about the Dolphins. His former employer, Flores, says that Dolphins owner Stephen Ross offered to pay him an extra $100,000 per loss during the 2019 season, as Ross wanted the Dolphins to lose enough games to secure the first overall pick in the 2020 draft. Ooh. Flores also alleges that Ross tried to get him to recruit a prominent quarterback who was under contract to another team, and of course that's tampering, that you'd be violating league rules, so he refused. Then the lawsuit says that the Giants scheduled a sham interview with Flores last week to comply with the Rooney Rule, and that Flores learned that in his interview it was just a mockery because his former boss, Patriots coach Bill Belichick, mistakenly texted him a congratulatory message thinking the Giants were going to hire him, when in fact Belichick later revealed that he had misunderstood another text he received and that he was actually told the Giants were hiring Brian Daboll. So the Giants did in fact hire Daboll, and the text suggested that he had already made that decision and scheduled an interview with Flores only because the Rooney Rule required them to interview a minority coach before they could make the Daboll hiring official. Oh, wow. So Bill Belichick really getting in the thick of that because he accidentally texted the wrong guy. Wow. So that's just part of it, part of what this process will be, and what we'll see where this lawsuit goes. But, you know, how about that? Hey, a quick side note. The Raiders, it's not really a side note, the Raiders announced some hirings. They made a move. They announced the hiring of Josh McDaniels and Dave Ziegler. So Mark Davis, the Raiders owner, opened a Monday press conference by thanking interim head coach Rich Bisaccia and the rest of the team, Bisaccia it is, and the rest of the team for their hard work in getting the team to the playoffs, but quickly moved on to the next chapter. And he said the team is going to hire Josh McDaniels as their new head coach. And of course, he's a longtime, amazingly successful offensive coordinator of the Patriots, who previously coached the Broncos and had an agreement to take over the Colts in 2018, but backed out after the Patriots lost the Super Bowl to the Eagles. So Davis also announced the hiring of Dave Ziegler as the team's new general manager. Ziegler is most recently the director of player personnel for the Patriots. So he and McDaniels made a package deal trying to come up with the formula that's eluding others who have left New England for other clubs, because they work well together, in other words. And that makes sense. This could be a really good, really, really, really good, I think, move for them, without a doubt. So, oh yeah, there is that game called the Super Bowl that's being played when so much attention is on a few other things. But we still have over a week and a half, you know, before we get there. I mean, this weekend is that lull weekend where you have the Pro Bowl, and then you head into the prep week for Los Angeles, and at the tail end of the week, the day before Valentine's Day, we have the Super Bowl. But you got to believe that there's a lot of breaking down of footage happening as far as the coordinators, the coaches for both the Bengals and for the Rams, because in looking at this, this is such a huge game. This is a huge game all around. You can be an incredible football player. You can amass stats. You can end up being in the Hall of Fame and not get that elusive Lombardi trophy and win the Super Bowl. And trust me, from covering so many athletes in sports for so many years, it's about getting that championship trophy. It really is. So the Cincinnati Bengals, check this out, were 125-1 preseason long shot to reach the Super Bowl, having won an NFL worst 2 games in 2019 and then only 4 games last season. So they made a quick turnaround to be in the Super Bowl. They faced the Rams, who now become the second consecutive team, I've talked about this, to play in the Super Bowl in their home stadium. Remember, Tampa Bay did that last year. So when you look at this matchup. You got these 2 weeks of hype, and it's going to center on the quarterbacks. It's going to center on Joe Burrow, who's been playing lights out in the playoffs, and Matthew Stafford, who's done exactly what his team wanted him to do. But I certainly look at the defense, and I look at a guy like Aaron Donald, who helped close out that NFC Championship game, and that is the guy that Joe Burrow and his teammates are going to have to worry about. If he is hurried, sacked, you know, we've seen him be sacked a lot, then it could be disastrous. When we look at the Rams, you know, you look at the weapons. It's hard to argue that Stafford doesn't have some serious weapons. Cooper Kupp, Odell Beckham Jr., with the game on the line, they came up big, 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 big. So I have to believe that they're going to come up big in the Super Bowl. And like I said, you've got defensive tackle Aaron Donald, and you have the guy who rushes on the edge, Von Miller. That's a big mismatch against the Bengals' offensive line. And we see how Burrow has been able to escape, manage to hold his own against pass rushers who are getting there. But divisional round against the Titans, but the Rams were going to be really aggressive, and that's going to be the most talented rush he's faced. I don't think that's shocking in looking at this. And you can't help but look at Burrow and think, oh, I mean, think of what happened in that last game. And if the Bengals are going to win this, they'll have to ride out a crazy wave of recent Super Bowl winners. And they're the underdog team. It's the team that plays the best and with the most confidence in the postseason. Sometimes you can make that up, or the gap is a little bit wider. If Joe Burrow can get the ball out of his hands, the Bengals could be in good shape. He just can't hang on to that ball and risk getting sacked and risk turnovers and all that stuff. I mean, it's got to be that he's able to get it out pretty quickly, and that's a big if, of course. And I'll tell you, it's in looking at some of the other possibilities of what the Bengals need to do. Joe Burrow protected, that's what matters. I mean, he's been sacked 50 or more times in the regular season. None of the previous 54 reached the Super Bowl. So that's what's so unique about all of this. He took 51 sacks in the regular season. And now here we go again with what I just said about the defensive front of the Rams. It is formidable, to say the least. Again, Aaron Donald, he's the king of collapsing the pocket. And he needs some clearing. He needs some space. And this is just Joe Burrow's second season. Remember, you got experience with Matt Stafford with the Lions. I mean, he's the number one pick in the 2009 draft. So he certainly has stats ability. If people look at him as kind of tarnished because of the Lions, it's not that he's tarnished because he played for the Lions, it's that they didn't do anything. But if you look at his lines and what he did when he was there, they're big. So this is just the second season for him. He can certainly roar and rise above it. And, you know, what is the gut reaction of a lot of people? You know, Sean McVay has been to the Super Bowl before and fell just short. I mean, he's got a star quarterback under center. Will he get it done this time around? It's tough to hop off the Bengals bandwagon. And, you know, Burrow didn't lose a playoff game at LSU. He has yet to lose a playoff game in the NFL. Could this be a destiny thing? The team with the best quarterback wins, I think. And has it been Burrow in the playoffs? I think he's been the best. But he has to get that space. So I'm going to say it again. I am absolutely picking Cincinnati. Picking Cincinnati. And I don't have anything against LA. I think the Rams are good. I like the Rams. I like Matt Stafford a lot. I was always one of his biggest fans. But I just, in looking at this game, and there are some mismatches that favor, I think, the Los Angeles Rams, but I still, in my gut, it tells me something about that they're going to pull it out, that the Bengals are going to pull it out, and we'll see. Hey, coming up, you know, this week, it's going to be all about gold, silver, bronze. And what does that mean? It's the Olympics at Beijing. It's all about fending off COVID positive tests so that teams can compete and they're not missing some of their stellar athletes. And there are athletes that are testing positive. Fingers crossed, Team USA will be healthy and all the way across the board. I cannot wait for it. Coming up this week, we're going to have a conversation with Nancy Kerrigan. We'll get her take on figure skating in this upcoming Olympics. That's the Man Cave. Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S. patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from wallofire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Wallofire.com.
We're going to introduce you to a really interesting lady today from New South Wales, or that's where she is anyway right now. Joylene Michelle has written a book that just shows you that you can't find, if you find yourself limited by where you are, there's no reason that you can't chase your dreams. There's no reason that you can't accomplish so many other things. And she has lived it. Broken past, heals dreams, an Australian story of abuse, adversity, and acceptance. So a broken past doesn't mean you can't realize those dreams. And we had a wonderful off-air conversation where I could have just sat all day long and talked to her with a cup of tea. So, Joylene, thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you, Kate. It's a pleasure being here.
Let's talk about your story. So tell us about your upbringing, because I think that's important to where you arrived and all the things you overcame, the adversity.
Well, I was a little girl. I lived an itinerant lifestyle right up until I was about 19. And I attended about 26 different schools in my lifetime. And at the age of 11, I was forced to leave school and become a worker. I started my working life as a seasonal worker. And all during that time, for 14 years, I was sexually abused by my father. And my story is about how I overcame that bad start and uneducated and generally feeling unloved, underdone, so to speak. You know, I didn't measure up. I felt I didn't measure up because I was a bush kid and, you know, barefoot in the field working, undereducated. So all my life I seemed to feel that lack of being somebody, and I wanted to be somebody. And so later on, you know, I just moved on with life after that, after I left the abuse. And I guess I started on a journey to make myself and create who I wanted to be. And I did a lot of soul searching. I did a lot of work on myself, did a lot of reading books, self-help books. And I guess eventually I found that I wasn't such a bad person after all. And I, you know, went on a journey. I had children, had marriage, and I guess a number of other jobs and things, hairdressing career for 35 years. And then I decided that I had a divorce, and I decided that I wanted to make more of myself. I thought, well, I can't be a hairdresser when I'm 70. So I thought I had to do something else. So I went on a educational journey. Well, I started through Toastmasters, went to night school, went to university and did a degree, and then started working in different jobs after that, and working with children, working with young people, because I felt that I just wanted to help people. And that was my journey with it, with my education. I wanted to help people that who perhaps been through what I'd been through. And I guess my philosophy through writing the book is I'm hoping that people can see that you can have a bad start in life, that you can actually be abused, but that doesn't have to stay with you forever. You don't have to cling on to that and blame everything in your life on that, that you can create a good life if you don't let go of the dreams that you had and that you work towards fulfilling them. And my life, as I said, has been really inspirational, I guess, and I want to inspire other people to believe in themselves that they can do it too.
Yeah, I want to talk about education that had played such a big role for you. Like you said, you were a bush kid, you had to go to work, you had to deal with the abuse. And then how did you get through school?
Well, I went to all different schools, of course, but in grade six, I got a scholarship to high school. I was very, very excited because I, you know, passed first in my grade six. And then my father said, oh, no, you're leaving school now. We're going grape picking. And so that was the end, virtually, of my education at the real school world. So then while I was working in the seasonal work, I did correspondence. I taught myself because Mum and Dad really couldn't teach me. So I did grade 7 and 8, by correspondence. It took me 3 years because I was working, but I actually got there, which was really great. And I finished up with a 98% pass, which was a bit exciting for me.
And that encouraged you because you knew, okay, well, I can, if I have to take it this way, I can do that. And then fast forward, you did night school, all of that, and you were able to really excel.
Well, I did. I went back and did when I was, I think in my late 40s. I went back, I think I was about 46. I went back to night school, a couple of years at night school. And then I thought, well, maybe I can go to university because I didn't think I could be a hairdresser for the next, you know, 20 years, and I wanted to keep working. And so I applied for university and got in and did a psychology degree. And then after that, I did a postgraduate degree, postgraduate studies in counselling. So I had quite a journey of education was lovely.
Wow.
I really enjoyed it.
And then you take this and as you said, you work with children.
I worked for child protection for over eight years.
Wow. And with your background and what you know and your knowledge, it must be incredible. What an incredible gift to those kids. The name of the book is, again, Broken Past Heals Dreams, An Australian Story of Abuse, Adversity, and Acceptance. And we're speaking with Joylene Michelle. You can get the book on Amazon or wherever great books are sold, really. So what do you hope when people crack open your book and they hear the things that you've done, what do you hope they take away from reading this book?
Well, I think it's a story. It's a real story. It's a real person. People said to me, are you going to put your name to it? And I said, yes, because it's real. And if I don't put my name to it, then it could be anything in fiction. And I want people to see that, while you can be abused and bad things can happen in your life, you can make bad decisions. And you have to pay the consequences. You can achieve things in life. You can achieve your dreams. And I want to inspire people to not give up on those dreams, because I didn't give up. And I achieved everything that I wanted to achieve. I did achieve. And it wasn't easy, and it took time. And I think people think that they've got to do it quickly. But sometimes it doesn't need to be quick. Sometimes it just needs to be a slow process of little increments of different things, of building your own personality, your own style of person, becoming who you're meant to be. And I just want people to realize that they can do that, and not to give up, and not to blame the past for everything that the decisions you make today doesn't have to be blamed on the past. You know, the decisions we make today, there's the consequences that we pay for, because it's free will. And I just think people have to realize that it's not the past. You can't live in the past. You have to look towards the future and work on making your life what you want it to be.
Wow, what a beautiful thing to say, and it's so, so true, and tough for people to get out of the past, right, when they live in their head and they keep reliving the same narrative.
Mm. And people can get stuck. They can get stuck because they don't know where to go, but I think you have to do something about it. It's like what I did, I sought books. I started off with Florence Chauvel Shin, and I got four of her books. I think I was in my early 30s. I thought, you know, there's more to life than this. And then that started me on a journey with all these other types of books. And I started looking and seeing that, you know, there's a possibility of changing and developing. And then I went, you know, tried religion. That didn't work for me. Then I became a part of a spiritual group, and I found my home. I just found that, yes, I wanted, that's what it was for me, that spiritual part of me, you know, that essence. And I guess it just moved on from there, really.
Yeah, and just
escalated.
And this is all in the book. Joylene's story is so interesting, about the broken past, heals, dreams, and Australian story of abuse, adversity, and acceptance. Thanks for sharing your story, and boy, it was just a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you so much. It's so lovely to get the message out there. I just hope that people can take something from the message, that just an ordinary person can do it. They can do it too.
I think they'll take that away, definitely. Thanks to everybody for listening to this interview, this show, and remember to make it count.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Pauti Arco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars shared with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.